Now there are three features of integral yoga. In this yoga, there is no strict sequence. In the integral yoga, there is no strict or rigid sequence. Now, this is a very important statement. If you look at the Hatha Yoga, you follow the word? There is no strict sequence, S-E-Q-U-E-N-C-E. There is no strict sequence. Sequence means going step by step, one followed by the other. In a sense, all steps are taken together. In a sense, there is no sequence that you do this first, then you do this, then you do this. In Hatha Yoga, for example, you do first asana, master it, then you come to pranayama. In Raja Yoga, you do first yama and niyama, then asana, then pranayama, then, like the tortoise, withdrawal from all the outside influences, then dwelling further, then absorption. In every yoga, there is a sequence. You do this first, then you do this second, you do third, you do fourth. Now in this integral yoga, there is no rigid sequence. There is sequence, but there is no rigid sequence. If you ask, what is the first thing we should do in this yoga, there is no straight answer. If at all you insist, a few things can be told, but even there, you find you can do this first, or you do this first, or you do that first, you do that first, whatever is convenient to you. So there is no rigid sequence. There are, of course, broad lines of development. You can't say, I'll jump straight to supramental. That you can't do. Supermind will come at a later stage, but even there, you can make jumps from one to the other, depends upon what your capacities are, your state is. So there is sequence, but no rigid sequence. You should distinguish the two things. Sequence, but no rigid sequence. Whatever is convenient to you to start with, that you should do. If it is easy for you not to study at all, you'll be allowed in this yoga. Don't study. What do you like to do? Whatever you can do easily, whatever is your inclination, concentrate on that, purify that, develop that. Whatever. Then gradually develop. Then there will be sequence. Once you take up this, then there will be sequence of it. But even there, the sequence is not rigid again. If after some time you say, I want to do something else, that also is allowed. That is the real principle of free progress. In a rigid system of education, first you do this, then you do this, then you do this. Strict syllabus, no? In free progress, syllabus is not fixed. Whatever you feel like doing, you do it. After some time, if you want to do something else, do that. Integrate with what you have done so far, or don't integrate, go to the third step. allow your natural being to flow, gradually you develop your faculties. Ultimate aim is all your faculties must come into the picture. If this is not done ultimately, then you lose everything. Your aim should be all, everything. Everything should be developed. Everything should be transfigured. So this is the first characteristic. In this integral yoga, there is no rigid sequence. There are some people who are so active that they can't meditate at all. So to them the answer is, don't meditate. Go on doing your work. Offer all your work to the Divine. That is the meditation of a different kind. Offering your work to the Divine is another kind of meditation. So do that kind of meditation. Don't sit quietly at one time, half an hour, 1 hour. Don't do that. There are some people who are incapable of doing a lot of work. Their energies are not tuned to action. They like to meditate, reflect, contemplate, withdraw, retire, be quiet, silent. So for them, that is the method. You start with that. For others, remembering the Divine, to sing the songs of the Divine, to praise the Divine, to live all the time in love of God, that may be much easier for so many people. So you start with that. So there is no rigid sequence that you must start with this or this or this. You start wherever you are, whatever you are. It is to such an extent that every individual will have his own system of yoga. Because every individual has different combinations of his mind, of his life, of his body. Therefore, everybody will have appropriate to himself his own method. So, synthesis of yoga, integral yoga, is one in which every individual will have his own system. So there are millions and millions of ways of integral yoga, not one. Therefore, integral yoga can never become religion. Religion is a system in which one method is prescribed, one principle is introduced, and you have to follow that one principle. Integral yoga can never become religion because everyone is allowed his own methods to develop. So there is not religion at all. The Sai Mother once said, it is impossible to make of teaching of Sri Aurobindo a religion. Impossible. You can't make it a religion. If every individual has his own method of development, you can't prescribe that everyone should do this. In religion, all those who believe in a religion, all have to follow one method. In the integral yoga, everyone has his own method, has his own way of development. There are no two identical persons having the same system of yoga in the integral yoga. For each individual, the yoga develops as he moves forward. His methods develop. Depending upon what is now prominent, what is easy, what is demanded by the force of your action, and you go on growing on that side. Gradually, all of them, like branches of the tree, they intertwine. Ultimately, you become a beautiful lotus, having all the petals grown together in a perfect manner. That is the aim. So this is the first characteristic. The second characteristic of this yoga is, I'm sorry, we must read the first. There are three outstanding features, page number 41. There are three outstanding features of this action of the higher when it works integrally on the lower nature. Integral yoga has three features. First, in the first place, it does not act according to a fixed system and succession as in the specialized methods of yoga, but with a sort of free, scattered, and yet gradually intensive and purposeful working determined by the temperament of the individual in whom it operates. So, these are very important words: free, scattered, and yet gradually intensive and purposeful. This is the method, special feature of this integral yoga. Free, scattered, and yet gradually intensive and purposeful. It is determined by the temperament of the individual. According to the temperament of the individual, whether you are active or emotive or contemplative or muscular man trying to do all the time muscle building, depends upon your inclination. Nothing is compulsory in this yoga. Ultimately everything is included, but nothing compulsory in your process. The helpful materials which is nature offers, you have to look as to what is it that is helpful in your nature. If it is easy for you to contemplate, then that is your method. Easy for you to love, then that is your method. Easy for you to work, it is your method. Depending upon your temperament, what is your elements in your temperament? Helpful materials which is nature offers, and the obstacles which it presents to purification and perfection. So purification and perfection comes by development. Purification, development, concentration. These three methods are always present. But where you will apply depends upon where is your obstruction, where is your helpful material. You apply there. In a sense, therefore, each man in this path has his own method of yoga. This is a most important sentence. Integral yoga, for everyone there is a different path. There is one beautiful sentence in the Bhagavad Gita: as they approach me, so do I deliver. As they approach me, so do I deliver. If you approach the Divine with love, He returns you with love. If you want the Divine should increase your powers of work, He pours work in you. If you contemplate on Him, He gives you a lot of peace and silence. As you approach, so He delivers. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tan tathaiva bhajamyaham. That is a Sanskrit word. As they approach me, so do I respond to them. If you think Divine is angry with you, He is angry with you. If you think the Divine is pleased with you, He is pleased with you. So now you decide. As you approach, so He will respond. Both are good. If you need the hand of Kali, then think the Divine is angry with you, then Kali's hand will come and will break all your obstructions on the spot. If you want a soft, little by little process, the Divine will do very softly, very tenderly, affectionately, all the things that have to be done. It depends on you. As you approach, so He will deliver. So He will respond. And there are millions of ways of approaching to the Divine. Millions. That is why it is said, integral yoga has million ways. There is not one way. In a sense, therefore, each man in this path has his own method of yoga. Yet are there certain broad lines of working common to all, which enable us to construct not indeed a routine system, but yet some kind of shastra and ayurvedic yoga. So although outward it may look to be scattered, but behind it there is a method. Not a rigid method, there is a sequence. There are three basic steps of this yoga. You may start anywhere, but you have to pass the three basic steps. Sri Aurobindo has spoken of them as triple transformation: psychic, spiritual, supramental. Even there, the process is overlapping. It's not a rigid process. Even while you are having a psychic stage of development, supramental stage also can intervene suddenly. Supermind can suddenly intervene, or spiritual can intervene. You may go first to spiritual, then psychic may develop later. We shall see all this later on. But still, in a general way, basic thing is you develop first psychic, then spiritual, then supramental. That kind of succession is not entirely impossible. In fact, it is very much in the picture. So that is the shastra. The shastra of integral yoga, which is already written in your heart, is the shastra of psychic transformation, spiritual transformation, supramental transformation. This is the scientific method of yoga, integral yoga. Now there is a second feature. Retire now. We shall take up later on. All right.